In 1901, a woman by the name of Annie Taylor climbed into a barrel so that she could ride that barrel over Niagara Falls, the first person to do so. The reason for her crazy endeavor? She was struggling to make ends meet, and she was hoping for fame and financial security. It's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage, a faith and family mortgage team that tries to improve your financial outlook without having to ship you over a 170-foot waterfall. Our mortgage team happens to be an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. This advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, which can save you monthly and lifelong money through a refinance, or help you with a cash-out refinance, cashing out some of your home's equity to use for life. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
It's good to have you here with us on Mornings with Tom and Tommy. Rob West is joining the program right now. It's our edition of Faith and Finance Chat. I know you hear him every weekday afternoon here at 4 p.m. for Faith and Finance Live, but we've got him live and in Technicolor. Rob, good to have you with us here on Mornings with Tom and Tommy.
Well, it's great to be with you, and nobody told me you all have your own coffee now. Come on.
Yeah,
it's really good. We're still debating whether it's caramel and vanilla flavoring or caramel and vanilla flavoring. We're still haggling over
that. Sure.
But we kind of like it, Rob. Got it. We'll have to send you some.
It's my favorite.
Absolutely. And I would be on the caramel side, by the way.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
We got it for you.
So what I heard was that Rob likes me best. That's how I heard that. Hey, Rob, you know, we just came out of tax day, right? Yeah. And everybody was pushing towards Monday and lots of stress, lots of anxiety for those people who put it off to the very last minute. We've had a day of breather, which was actually National Pajama Day yesterday to try and unwind from all of that. But, you know, sometimes we're so thankful to have that in the rearview mirror. We don't make the decisions necessary to make sure that those kinds of things that happen to us this tax year don't happen next tax year. How do we do that? How do we reevaluate these things so that maybe next year we won't owe like we did this year?
Yeah, exactly. And I think more people are finding, in fact, I saw this, some data on this just the other day, that they owe taxes where in the past they had not. And it has to do with some changes, some tweaks to the tax rates, as well as, you know, some of the credits that folks were getting in the past kind of falling off. And as a result, you may have found yourself in a situation where you owed something, and therefore that means not enough was withheld. And so how do you go about that moving forward? Well, the key is to make sure that you make those changes on your W-4 so you can avoid, to Tom's point, owing next year. You know, it's fairly easy to do. The W-4 form is that form that you fill out with your employer to determine how much tax is withheld from your paycheck throughout the year. And an online calculator can help you estimate your tax liability and determine if you're having too much or too little. There's even a little, you know, formula there, right there on the W-4 form, if you'd rather use more of the pencil and paper approach. But there's a tax withholding estimator at irs.gov. If you just search tax withholding estimator, IRS, you will find that. There's also a lot of other free tools out there. But I think the key is that you get that form updated. It's not a matter of what your employer says. It's between you and the IRS. And so if you don't have enough being withheld, go ahead and do that now. Now, on the flip side, if you got a big refund, you don't want to make that tax-free loan to the government throughout the year. You need to get that back into your budget so you can make sure that it's going to the right places in line with your spending plan and your priorities, not sending it to Uncle Sam waiting to get it back without interest.
Okay. I love that, because so many people do find themselves with that big bill at the end of doing their taxes. It can be pretty shocking to some, and then paying it off also can be burdensome. And so thank you for that moving forward. And Rob, a lot of people are also struggling with just life right now. They're struggling to pay rent. Maybe they're having to move because the rent is going up and they can't afford it. And then they're trying to juggle, do I even make enough to get this place by myself, because I need to be three times the income of the rent. So how does a person survive? Grocery bills and all these things that are products of inflation right now.
Yeah, it's a really challenging environment, as you well know, Tavi, and we want to help people kind of get through that. I mean, I was just looking the other day at some data around auto insurance rates and auto insurance premiums. I mean, they're through the roof. Listen to this. If you go back right before the pandemic to 2019, auto insurance rates are up 45%, but just in the last year, they're up 22%. I mean, that's massive. And, you know, one of the factors that is contributing to that is just the high cost of repairing vehicles. Now, it's always a good idea to drive defensively and avoid accidents, but if you needed another incentive for safe driving, that certainly is one. But, you know, you put all of these things together and it just creates a really difficult situation, as you all well know, to balance the budget. And here's the reality is that, you know, the cycle that we get ourselves in so often as Americans is, you know, we start with worry and concern. We ultimately, as a result of that, we don't do anything to change our financial life. And so we continue to spend more than we earn, which is a contentment issue. That means we take on debt, which is really a discipline issue. That debt leads to no margin or surplus, and that's how we fund our goals, but we can't because we have no margin or surplus, and that leads to more worry. And it's this vicious cycle of worry and spending more than we earn and taking on more debt and then having no margin, and then that leads to more worry. And that's just not where we want to live. And at the core of each of those, I think really is a spiritual issue, is trusting God and living with contentment and making an absolute commitment, as difficult it is as it is. And don't get me wrong, I understand it's challenging, but making an absolute commitment to live within God's provision and even have something left over, because that cushion or margin is the only way we're going to fund our goals, paying down debt, saving for the future, building up that emergency fund, giving more. I mean, all of those things that are priorities to us that align with our values, we can't do them unless we have some margin. So what do we do? Well, we've got to have a spending plan. We've got to have a budget. And I know that's not fun, and you know, it may not, your personality might be like, I don't want to track every dime. I get it. And so let's make it simple. And, you know, that's why we built the FaithFi app. So maybe you check that out. Julie and I use it literally every day. I mean, just this morning I was in there saying, hey, Jules, you know, look at our eating out envelope. It's getting a little low. I guess we're, you know, eating at home for the rest of the week. But we can make those course corrections because in real time we see exactly where we stand in every one of our envelopes. And if you want to check it out, just go to faithfi.com and click app. But we've got to have a plan, and you got to find one that works for you.
And we're talking with Rob West 2 days after tax day, and we're learning about preparing ourselves for next year, but also how to live in these times of inflation. Of course, Rob West is of Faith and Finance, which you can hear every day at 4 here on 88.9 Moody Radio. Thanks for being with us, Rob.
I'm so glad to be with you.
Yeah, Rob, you had talked about the importance of having a spending plan. And just say somebody's listening to us right now and they can't see straight because they are so underwater with their spending. And since they were underwater to begin with, and then inflation really makes things more expensive, what is like step number one that somebody can actually begin to start formulating a plan? What's the first step?
Yeah. Well, the first step is to find out where your money is going today. I mean, you may see symptomatically that, okay, the credit card bills are rising. I'm taking on some debt. I'm not able to pay it off at the end of the month. And so therefore, I'm spending more than I'm making. There's more outgo than income. And so I've got to figure out where that is. The only way to do that is to start tracking. And, you know, that could be something as tactile and simple as you carry around a little flip pad with you, you or if you're married, you and your spouse. And literally every time you spend something, you write it down. Another approach would be, as I mentioned, the FaithFi app, where you connect it to your debit and checking and credit card accounts. It automatically downloads those transactions. It'll even categorize them for you, and you can change that. But the key is to know, okay, where is that money going? Because I need to then begin to make the hard decisions. And with that information, you can do that, because now it's a matter of, okay, I'm spending X dollars more, and I need to rein that back in order to balance, but not only just to balance, but to have some margin left over. And so now we go to work and we start cutting, and maybe the streaming services are the first ones that go. And then, you know, beyond that, we're making some harder decisions. I mean, eating out is a big budget buster for sure. And, you know, there's a whole host of things that we can look at. But without that information on where the money's going today on a monthly basis, I can't make the decisions. And so I think that has to be the starting point.
Okay.
Okay. And if you've got a question for Rob West, you're welcome to text that in to us at 423-629-8900.
Rob, you know, I know that financial planners such as yourself, at least this is what I think, will focus in on the budgeting and the you know, organizing your finances. But what about like when you just really have to get another job? Is that part of this as well?
Yeah, no doubt, Tavi, because, you know, if things aren't working, if you're spending more than you're earning, which is the kind of the starting point, it's the foundation to every financial success, is living within your means. There's only two options. We've got to either decrease expenses or increase income. And it may be a combination of the two. Maybe you're looking for some extra, you know, hours at work, if that's possible. Maybe it is adding that second job. You know, in this gig economy, a lot of people are, you know, doing some things on the side in the evenings, whether it's delivering packages or food, or, you know, driving for Uber, or, you know, truly picking up a second job. Maybe it's seasonal, where you're working at one of the shipping companies, you know, during, you know, a Christmas season, because, you know, they take on extra workers just because of the volume of packages. I mean, there's a whole host of things you could look at. But yeah, I think there is a time where you have to get serious about saying, okay, we want to get out of debt once and for all. We want to be able to save for the future. We want to be able to do certain things, and we just can't. We've skinnied the budget down as much as we can. And so the only thing left is to add some income, if that's an option.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much, Rob. And just let me just take this one step further, because one of the neat things I love about the way that you talk about finances is not just Rob's idea about how to do this. These are all biblically based, and they help us to be truly better stewards of what God has really blessed us with financially. Even if we're underwater, we can be better stewards by just implementing these biblical principles.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, think about this. The Bible has more than 2,300 verses in Scripture around money and possessions. Why is that? It's because God wants our money? No, it all belongs to Him. He doesn't need our money. He wants our hearts. And so, you know, when I look at the passages and the big themes in God's Word around money, yes, there are some wise money management principles like diversification and spending less than we earn and the dangers of debt and, you know, the reasons we should absolutely avoid co-signing. I mean, those are really practical. But a lot of them have to do with just this potential for money to compete with our devotion to God. Mm. You know, we look at the parable of the sower, and what choked out the weeds was the deceitfulness of riches. That was one of the three things. We look at the parable of the rich fool, and, you know, God, Jesus tells this story about, you know, this fool that put trust in his things and said, I'm going to build bigger barns and eat, drink, and be merry. And God called that person a fool and said, this life, or this day, your life's going to be demanded of you. And so it is for those who are not rich toward God. And, you know, what does it mean to live rich toward God? Well, I think the idea is that we handle money in such a way that it's evident that God is our ultimate treasure and not our things, not the things of this world, despite the fact that the world will tell you that longing that was hardwired in you by God for abundance and fulfillment, the world will tell you that can be satisfied by the things of this world. It's a lie. It's just not true. God Himself is the only thing that will satisfy. And so then money gets in its proper context, and that's a tool to accomplish God's purposes. And that's a game changer.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And it's really interesting to me, Rob, how as followers of Christ, we're so willing to trust Him with our eternal soul, but we won't trust Him with our finances at all. At some point, you have to just come to the point where you surrender to His principles and allow them to work on your behalf.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, we look at the parable of the rich, or the Sermon on the Mount is what I'm thinking of. And, you know, right there, it's talking about this idea that, you know, we need to understand that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And so our heart follows our money. And then we get into this idea of do not be anxious. You know, we can't serve God and money, and don't be anxious. And so often our anxiety comes around the money issue. And it's because we play this what if game, which leads to fear. Fear is a spiritual trap because it takes our eyes off the goodness of God and puts it on our present circumstances, which causes us to, you know, have have misplaced trust. Our trust needs to be ultimately in God Himself, our provider and sustainer. His promises are true. He will never leave us or forsake us. And so that's where we need to place our trust. Now, we need to do our part as stewards because we're money managers for the King of Kings. And so that's where it gets back to, all right, we got to have that plan and we got to make the hard decisions and we got to make the cuts. But ultimately, God is our provider and we can't forget that.